Good morning. Morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. I'm looking forward to this Christmas season. I don't always, but I guess having Victoria in the house really helps that Christmas season pop back up, because Zeke and I are not holiday people, not celebration people, and Christian and Victoria are a good match for that for us. So I've been reading in Luke 1 and 2 for the Christmas story. I hope you're reading that during this season. You know, we see a lot of posts on Facebook about keep Christ in Christmas and all that, less this year than we have in previous years. But what really befuddles me is that as Christians, we don't ourselves dig into the Christmas story. We don't look at those things. We just go and talk about what somebody else is talking about instead of allowing God to talk to us. So I thought, and God's been doing this to me for about 3 or 4 months now, I studied for a series. There's going to be a three-part series called Trusting Christmas. There's going to be a clever connect with trust the Christmas tree, trust the gifts, trust these three things. And as I'm working, all I could keep seeing in this Christmas story is the glory of God. So it's been changed to the glory of Christmas, because in this story, when you read it, there's a lot of glory happening, okay? And if we take the word glory, we'll define it a little bit more each Sunday, but the glory of God is the manifestation of his presence, or better yet, the manifestation of his personality. I heard a guy say something like, if holiness is his perfection and his uniqueness, and he's the only one that can be holy, and holy, 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 perfect, 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 unique, 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 then glory is the tangible manifestation or the seen parts of his holiness, or the felt parts of his holiness, or the experienced parts of his holiness. So the presence of God is like God is unique. And so the presence of God, or the glory of God, we see it in the story, and you'll be familiar with this first glory. And I keep thinking of glory bubbles. And I heard that phrase, and I'm not sure how the guy was thinking about it, but I thought of glory bubbles. And whenever I say glory bubbles, what do you think of? What do you think of when I say bubbles? Bubbles, like when you blow a bubble, right? When a kid blows a bubble, or when you get that big string thing and you put it in the big soapy and you do this giant bubble, and bubbles are weak and bubbles break and bubbles are messy. But there's another type of bubble that we forget about, and that's a safety bubble. That's a tent. That's a netting. That's a covering. That's a dome. We're in a bubble today to keep us out of the weather. And we have these bubbles, and we see this glory bubble in Genesis, where the Spirit of God hovers over the earth and creates something from the bubble or the presence that comes over, that lands upon and surrounds the earth, and it creates something new. And we see the glory bubble also come upon Mary. Something happens. Something descends upon Mary. And it doesn't just, it's a huge fullness that comes down upon Mary, and it's different, and it produces something. And then Mary being in this glory bubble, I mean, you can think about it as stepping into a, she doesn't step into a bubble, but the bubble comes upon her, and for the rest of her life, she walks out of or in that experience with that glory bubble. And in that glory bubble, something happens physically with inside of her, and it changes her. So the glory of God changes us, and then she produces a child named Jesus, who becomes our Lord and Savior, who then walks in his own glory bubble. And everywhere Jesus goes, he engages people with what? With the glory of his Father, with the manifestation of the perfectness that's in heaven as it's here on earth. And though Joseph, Jesus's stepdad or earthly father, gets a chance to engage in the glory bubble, and he says, no, thank you. He says, no. And I think it's probably too embarrassing. I don't want to embarrass her, but by law, I get to not only expose her as somebody who committed adultery, but he takes the also legal route out and just says, I'm going to not marry her. Then he's visited by an angel, and he does what? He engages in the glory of God, the presence of God, and it changes Joseph that he's willing to raise a son that is not his. Okay? So there's glory bubbles all over here. So Mary is pregnant. She goes to visit her cousin, who's extremely old, who's also pregnant. And what happens, as soon as her cousin Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, what does it say in Scripture happens inside of Elizabeth? The baby leaps. Glory, glory. He experiences the tangible manifestation, the presence of God, just through the speaking of Mary, even before Jesus is even born. So, and there's a glory bubble also when the shepherds are out in the field, and the glory of God comes in the form of angels. And the glory of God comes in the form of, at that instance, is the angels and music. And the glory of God with Mary and Elizabeth comes through Mary's voice. Elizabeth says, as soon as you spoke, as soon as your words hit my ears, my child leapt within inside of me. And we see also that the wise men, they experience the glory of God through the heavens, through what they see with their eyes of nature, what they can think about and what they can hope for and what they're seeing and what they're studying, they're experiencing the glory of God. So there's all different glory bubbles throughout. And if you look at that, and you might be thinking, well, glory bubble, smubble. You probably weren't thinking that exact phrase. But think about that. A lot of us think glory of God only in the context of Old Testament Scripture. We see the pillar of fire by night for the Israelites, the pillar of the cloud by day. We see the supernatural provision or manifestation of a foreteller of Jesus in the manna and the water of living water in the desert. We see that. We like studying the Ark of the Covenant. We like studying the tabernacle because the presence of God is in there. We can experience God in those things. But what we forget is that Jesus himself then walks in the glory of God, and his disciples walk in the glory of God. And they manifest because of who they are, because of whose they are, because of how they're believing and how they're living their lives, they walk out this glory. And we think that the glory maybe stopped there, but then we see in Acts, we see tales of glory. So what does glory look like when a glory bubble hits somebody? In Jesus' day with the disciples, with Jesus, and with the book of Acts, we see people getting healed physically. We see people getting healed spiritually and emotionally. Some of the words that are used there is not just, we think, just physical healing, but it's a wholeness that's healed. And I think it's a wholeness of a healing of memories and experiences. And we also see that healing brings a releasing of your sins and a forgiveness of your sins, where you might have struggled with that, and you might even be a Christian, but in the presence of the glory of God, when God is present with you and you're experiencing that, shame is released. Doubt is cleaned up. Past memories are cleaned up. And that horrible thing that happened to you becomes the very weapon that you pick up and you fight the enemy with on the behalf of others. So no matter your loss, no matter your tragedy, no matter your sin, no matter the sin put upon you or the sin you put upon others, when we experience this glory bubble, something happens within us. We see demons fleeing. When Jesus walks into an area, his glory bubble seems to be quite large, and it says everyone who came to him was healed. Demons fleed when they heard his name, when they heard him coming. And so we see this sense of this glory bubble, and it's in the Christmas story. All throughout here, there's all these things, and the difficult part is that there's so many different manifestations that we often judge one manifestation as being better or worse than the other. And what we do is we've taken the glory of God or the presence of God specifically to be said only in two places. And one place is in our prayer closet. The other place is in a revival-type meeting. We rarely think of that we walk with the glory of God around us, within us, that we are God's glory. And there's been some bad teaching about God doesn't share his glory with anybody, but Scripture is over and over says that he does share his glory with us, that we're the glory of the Lord, and that when we walk in his glory that he's put upon us, that we actually, that's the way we give him glory. But there's so many different manifestations. It's not just a service where we pray for somebody and they're healed. It's not just a service where we pray for somebody and they're set free from demons or they're set free from a memory or emotions. That you walk in the glory of God when you give financially. You walk in the glory of God when you raise your children well. Or if even if you just raise your children. You know, even if you're just there in the game, you're walking in the glory of God. You know what? When we go to work, we walk in the glory of God. Now, part of my work included being with people in Panama, and I met three people in Costa Rica, and I think I had some divine appointments there. That was the first time I was in Costa Rica, and I study and I plan and I pray towards certain things that I want to see happen, but that's not any more glory of God driven than your job is, than you taking care of your home is. There's no separation. There's no Stevie's glorifying God more because he's singing on Sunday than there is you going to your job or you being the neighbor that you're called to be. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next couple of Sundays, but there's all these different manifestations of who we're supposed to be. So this idea of a bubble, I think you'll get this idea of a bubble. Have you ever walked into a room and you can feel the anger? That's a bubble. You just walked into an anger bubble. All right? I was in Panama, and I went to this restaurant two times ago. I was there, and you're sitting down at a restaurant, and it's in somebody's home, and you walk down the driveway, and their house is here, their kitchen's here, and you walk through this little porch area, and they have about 8 tables set here, and they cook right out of their kitchen. They only have breakfast, and the lady walks up to you. I'll do it with Aubrey. He'll love this. She goes, how do you say good morning? Como? Thank you. I don't know why. That happens in Mexico, in Panama too. She goes, buenos dias, mi amore. And she kisses you. And she goes around the table. I tell you what, do you feel like you're in a bubble now? You're in like a Les Heron love bubble, man. You're like, you lucky. You got lucky today. So when you walk in there, I tell you what, you all of a sudden, when this lady, this lady, she's probably 50-something, maybe a little bit old, she walks in there, and she walks around the table, and she kisses every one of you. And she walks up to the table, and that's what she says, buenos dias, mi amores. She's like, good morning, my loves. And I told Jim, he didn't know what restaurant I was talking about when I wanted to go back. I said, I want to go back to the one where the lady calls me her love, and she kisses me. He's like, oh, I know which one that is. And so and you walk into this bubble, and we forget that we carry the glory of God within us. But if we're not speaking, if we're not loving, if we're not giving, then it's just within us. It doesn't do anything. And I'm telling you what, in this church, a lot of times our what we get, it's not given, and it dries up. We've got to use and exercise our gifts. We've got to use and exercise what we have. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in Southern California, and the only sport I really did, I mean, there wasn't any sports when you're in elementary school, but I was a canoer and a kayaker. So every Saturday and Sunday for a certain season twice a year, I would go and I would canoe and kayak. I would canoe and kayak in the bays. I did competition in Busch Gardens up until I was right before I turned 13, for about 5 years, and I could propel a canoe or a kayak. I mean, I was really good at it. I'll bring my trophies one time. In my old cedar chest from junior high that I made, I have like a bunch of trophies. I pulled them out to show Victoria a couple years ago, and guess what's happened to them? They're rusting, and they're not nearly as magnificent as they were 40 years ago. But you know what? I went back, and I kayaked this last summer in whitewater, which I'd never done, and I forgot how hard it was to kayak, especially when you're in a smaller kayak, a different kayak, and you're on a river, and you're like this the whole time, and after 3 hours, you're exhausted because you're trying to keep your balance, and you're trying to go down a river, and you're trying to go certain areas with your guide and stuff like that, and if you don't use it, you will lose it. It shrivels up and dies. Faith, your belief that God wants to do something in your family without work shrivels up and dies. Your hope, your belief that God wants to use you in ministry, and then each year you don't enter into ministry anywhere, it shrivels up and dies. Then you just have something dead down here that every once in a while squeaks up and makes a noise and says, I want to do something. But we have these glory bubbles that we engage with, And I'm a firm believer that you can engage with them through the reading of Scripture, through the listening of podcasts, of preaching, of teaching. You can engage with them in meditation upon the Word and memorization and Bible study, where you're not just reading, where you're studying. You can engage this glory bubble that's already in you to let it come outside of you so it's on your face. You know, we see the glory bubble on Stephen's face in the first part of the book of Acts. The glory of God shone upon his face. It was like everybody knew there's something's happening with this guy. And it's not because he was scared to death. It was because he was so at peace upon his death that it looked completely different. So we can engage in a bunch of different ways. And this is something I thought about coming into, you know, the end of this year. I always try to pray in November about next year. And I just want to make sure that every one of you is like creating some spiritual disciplines. We just did one. This is a spiritual discipline, getting yourself to church. Your time. And to challenge you to think about that I need something constantly being put in me to press out what's already in me. So some of the bad that's in me, some of the junk, some of the stuff I carry with me. But I want to get that God thing just out of my heart and into around me. Though people know when I come somewhere. You know, some of you had Thanksgiving and you felt a bubble when you walked into your family, and all of it wasn't a good bubble. Some of it was a good bubble. Oh, I'm home. This is family. This is great. Others, it was like, oh, I'm here. And you could feel the tension. You could feel the bubble suck some life out of you. But you know what? We have that bubble. We're supposed to be the ones that change the atmosphere through that bubble, walking into that room, breathing a completely different air than anybody else in that room is breathing. Not the rebellious, not the hurt air, not the religious air, but the God air that he has for you in that bubble that you're in. So we see that, and I was going to read the scripture in Luke 1 at the end up through the story of John kicking, but you guys can read that. So I was thinking about that, and you know, kids manifest the glory of God all the time, and they do it by this: watch me, watch me, watch me. Victoria, I got home, and she had bought some clothes from Target, and every time she's like, sit down, close your eyes. She goes in, she's, look at me, shows me all her clothes. It's expressing the glory of God. It's expressing who she is. Listen to this, I got that part of the song. Expressing the glory of God. It's not a show-off way, it's just an excitement that I am this way, that I can do a backbend, that I can do a flip, things like that. The other day she came in, you'll see this on Facebook this week, she came in and she had built a, like an end of a package about this high that was a wrapping paper, put a bow on it, and somehow put it around her ears. She walked in and she said, Merry Christmas, I'm your present. And that's what Jesus does to us, and that's what we do one to another. I'm your gift. Scripture says, I'm your gift. You're my gift. Not just as a pastor and people at the church, but just as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're gifts one to another, and we miss that if we operate under a different kind of bubble. You know, and there's all these different manifestations, and we like judging the manifestations of the glory of God. If somebody has a terminology or a phrase or something we don't understand or find a difficult time believing or accepting, we like to push them over there and ostracize them a little bit. If it's a business person that's working really hard, or they're trying to build the business, wanting to be an entrepreneur, wanting to make more, wanting to create jobs, we judge that glory as being greedy. Somebody who's is prayer or prophecy or teaching, we like to judge that manifestation of God's glory as, well, they don't want to have a real job. So there's all these different areas of from when we talked about the Every One of Us series about the gifts of God, the speaking in from speaking in tongues to putting things in order, to being an organizer, and a gift of administration, the gift of leadership, the gift of giving. Every one of us is called to these things to walk in. And as we accumulate our bubbles and we accumulate working as a body, then the glory of God gets more and more powerful in those things. All alone, your glory bubble can look really weird and strange, by the way. All alone, you can look like a freak when you utilize your gift. That's why we need other gifts engaged in the gifting and the moving of the glory of God. And that's what we've seen in revival services. And I don't know how many of you have been to revival services, But usually what we see is one or two gifts being manifested, giving glory, and then we quickly see that revival go downhill and tank and get worse than it ever was. The church gets worse than the church ever was, and sometimes it all falls apart. Because of the lack of the engagement of the body of Christ in the gifting or in the glory of God that we see. So there's all different manifestations. We're supposed to come together in these bubbles. It's really important that we find the right partners and the right things. And it's important that we're working and doing these things. Mary experiences a bubble and says, whatever you want me to do, I'm in. Joseph experiences a bubble, says no, then says yes. King Herod has a chance. He experiences the bubble when the three wise men come. He says, no, not only no, but I'm going to do everything I can to kill that bubble, to stomp on that bubble, to get rid of that bubble. Stevie spoke on Naaman a couple weeks ago and did a really good job before Thanksgiving. And Naaman had a chance to experience the bubble of God, but it wasn't in his control the way he wanted, so he was furious. But then he changed his mind and experienced the glory of God. The manifestation of God's perfectness and God's uniqueness. Each of us in here, if you consider yourself saved, you've already experienced the glory of God through salvation. But there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more than I got saved, I'll work really, really hard till I die, and when I'm dead, I'll be out of pain. There's more for us. There's more for you. There's more for me. Now, this idea of a bubble is I was in Jaco, it's J-A-C-O, Costa Rica. It's a beach town. It's a 2.5 mile beach, and it curves out like that. And I got approached to buy cocaine twice while I was there, and I was only there for 2 to 4 days. And I was thinking the last time I got asked to have cocaine was probably 1981 or 82. That wasn't to sell, it was to use. And I said no. But so that's a long time ago, right? That's like 33 years later. I tell you what, when somebody comes up and goes, hey amigo, you wanna buy some cocaine or marijuana? You're in somebody else's bubble. All of a sudden you're like, huh? It encompasses you. And after the second time, I was like, God, what do I say so that I pop that bubble and it's now my bubble and your bubble and it's me and you and he's in our bubble? Instead of just getting away from that guy. It was two different guys. And I thought, what kind of world do we live in as Jocko that they think a 50-something-year-old wants drugs? I'm like, oh, wait, probably a lot of them want drugs down here. Because you go there, part of it is you go down there to party and different things and to be away from your home, I guess. So there's this idea of this bubble, the anger bubble. All these different kind of bubbles that you have, the good and bad. And we're supposed to take over those bubbles. Some of you walk in here this morning and you're in a health bubble. And your health bubble is talking to you and you're breathing in the oxygen of your health bubble. And there's not God in that bubble. It's like you've walked into the God thing, but there's a bubble over you that you know is there, that we know goes with us. But we're in there in a health bubble. And all we're breathing in is about our health. And we're afraid. Or we're in there and it's all about our politics or our economy or our job or our kids. And we shouldn't be breathing the kid bubble, by the way. Even though I love being a dad, I love seeing people be mom and dad, that they're not our world. He's our world. My marriage is not my world. It shouldn't be your world. You know, and we're coming into where more and more people are getting laid off. I talked with a couple neighbors and I just asked them, how secure are your jobs? And they're like, we think they are, but we don't know because people all around them are getting laid off. And so what happens is that you can breathe from that bubble. And I don't mean breathing from this glory bubble that's just ridiculous and you look ridiculous, but where you're saying you're proclaiming everything that you hope happens, but not what God's told you is going to happen. But there's this thing that we're supposed to be more in charge of that bubble. We see it in the Christmas story. We see it with Naaman. We see those things that we get. And so the glory of God is his beauty and his perfection made known almost always through his vessels. Okay? So the glory of God isn't just to be there and it's there and you walk into it and you leave it. That it's always there And I think next week we're going to talk about how do you recognize it and why are some people more resistant to experiencing the beauty and glory of God. And I've been one of those people who's been very resistant to it. I've been around it a lot, and I've seen some of the best and probably some of the worst. So when it comes to this, I want to end with this, that there's not a lot of different types of believers in here today when it comes to the glory of God. And I wrote down three different believers. There might be a fourth, but I couldn't quite put words to it. And the first one is I'm seeking to walk in God's glory like Mary. Mary asked one question. The angel of the Lord gives her an answer. She's like, I'm all in. I'm all yours. Do whatever you want. That's walking in the glory of God, the fullness of the glory of God. The second one is neglecting God's glory through bad doctrine, through distracted by life, through distracted by religion, through previous mistakes that thinks that we no longer are allowed to walk in the glory of God or allowed to walk in ministry or that we're just not good enough. Like David said, most of the disciples were like, really, me? And a lot of us struggle with that. And I think the religious leaders were partly there. They, as far as the bad doctrine, or just distracted by the politics of making Herod happy. But there's also the quenching of God's glory where Herod was at. And we see that with Herod, and later on we see it with the Pharisees and leaders when Jesus is a grown man in his 3 or 4 years of ministry. And that's quenching God's glory out of, I think, also fear, bad doctrine, a desire to be in control, and previous misuse that you've seen. So you don't want anything ever bad to happen by somebody prophesying, so you say no more prophecy. You've been prayed for a dozen times for healing, it's never worked, so I will no longer pray for healing. God must want me sick. And we'll address some of that coming into January on some of those things. So I've been all three. Usually I want to really seek and walk in God's glory lasts about that long. I'm gonna fast for 10 days going into this year. And God, I feel like God's telling me to, and man, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna like change this, and it just doesn't work because it's not something I get to do. Now, fasting can help you engage. I've quenched it. I've quenched God's glory. The Lord showed me probably 5 or 6 years back that I get a little bit nervous when the things of God come along in my conversation, and I get a little bit nervous when I feel like the Lord told me to do something. I can get spiritually sarcastic and kind of cut it off or divert it or stop it or not go all the way in obedience and all the way in hope of where He's taking me. And I've also mostly... I think this is where most of us are at. We simply neglect the glory of God that is within us. We simply neglect how amazing and how beautiful our parts are for us to play. You know, Aubrey and I always try to have a sports thing to talk about. So I read an article about J.J. Watt I was sharing with Aubrey, and J.J. Watt's never missed a game. I think in all of his years in college ball, but I know all for professional, and he's an amazing guy. He's just won like the 4th year defensive back of whatever it was. It was like, really? And he's massive, and he's genuinely seems kind and nice, and the way he talks about his football family and his coaches in the high school and all the things that helped him, and he walks in this tremendous bubble. And none of us would have a problem with saying he's not neglecting the glory of God within him. You know what I mean? If that athleticism, he's at the top of his game. And I don't know that I don't think he's a believer. I don't have any idea. But there's glory of God inherent in all of us, believer and not believer, that wants to come out, that's crying to get out in Jesus' name. And so we can see that he's not neglecting that. And then I was reading the other day that Adele, what's the name of her new song? Is it 25? No, not her new song, her new album. 20, yeah, I got, yeah, see, there, hello. I haven't really heard it, but I did hear Hello. And she sold over 1 million CDs, or 1 million in the first week, and she sold over 1 million the second week to be like 3-point-something million. And nobody's ever done that before. And nobody would say that she's neglecting the gift of God of her voice, of the glory of God in her voice. All right? But for us, we like to look at people like that and go, I wish, that would be nice. Or I wish I could do this, or I wish I could do that, I wish I had this. But we have those gifts for who we are, for what we're created to be. You have that potential if you don't neglect the glory of God within you. And Paul says, don't neglect the spiritual gift. And I think that is a spiritual a gift, a tool that you have to shape people's lives, to lead people to the Lord, to set people free, to give sight to the blind in Luke. We see when Jesus stands up and reads out of Isaiah, we have that. We have that. And whatever part that you have and you think you lack a part, you don't need to wait till you get that part. God's already provided that part right here. And so that glory bubble, that idea of walking in here is don't neglect your gift. And if you've quenched it because you've heard that God doesn't operate that anymore, you need to get some better doctrine. You need to actually follow Scripture and not your denominational doctrine. So I want to make a commitment coming into this next year to walk in a glory bubble. Anybody with me? Yeah. I want to make a commitment to where I do walk in some sort of glory, where I do walk in some sort of influence, where I walk into a place and things change because I walk in and somebody's sitting across the table from me. That's where I make a big change, is when I can sit down and have a conversation with somebody right there. I want that to even be bigger and more powerful and more God air in there when I'm in that bubble with them. And so that things change in the heart quicker, that it doesn't take meeting after meeting after meeting. So I want to ask you, and I want to challenge you to think about that, where you're at in your job, where you're at in your church, where you're at in your neighborhood, where you're at in your family, is to ask for more of God's beauty, the manifestation of God's personality and His power and His beauty in and through you. Okay? All right, let's bow our heads.